One thing that is no joke, since last Thursday's Brexit vote, there's been a disturbing rise in anti-immigrant incidents in the UK, many of them directed at people from Poland. Last week, we spoke with Rok Dunin-Wasowicz on the show. He's a researcher at the London School of Economics. He's also Polish and has done a lot of research on Polish workers in Great Britain. So you saw a number of scenarios playing out on Friday, Rok, but with the news of Brexit still pretty fresh, things were kind of unclear. After this weekend and what you've seen with just polls in the UK, how are you feeling on Monday?
We are seeing that we're reaping a harvest of the vilifying rhetoric against Central Eastern European migrants that was created and perpetrated by some of the people on the Leave side.
Yeah, what kind of events stood out for you this weekend in kind of a negative way?
Well, two things are most prominent. One is people receiving vilifying racist leaflets around Cambridge. And the other one was when the Polish Cultural Center in Hammersmith in West London was vandalized and someone wrote racist slogans on the door.
And those leaflets that were being distributed in Cambridge, who's sending those out and are they being targeted at the Polish community?
They're definitely targeted at the Polish community because they say, and I quote, "no more Polish vermin," both in Polish and English. So they're clearly targeted at this specific group. And the same thing is the case in London where, you know, this is the Polish Cultural Center that's been there for 50 years. So this is pretty deliberate.
I mean, given how cosmopolitan London is, are you surprised at what's going on in London?
I am quite surprised because I would say that for sure, in some of the more deprived areas of this country, migrants are competing for work with the domestic populations to a degree. Obviously, this has been much more exaggerated, the degree of it. But it is happening. You know, there's no denying of this. However, in London, this is absolutely unprecedented. And we have no idea who's done it, but it's a deliberate attack. It is motivated by xenophobia, by racism, and it's very disconcerting.
And how would you describe the atmosphere generally in London right now, whether you're a Pole or anybody who is not originally from there?
We had Pride here over the weekend, and a lot of people came out with European Union flags to celebrate gay Pride, so that was telling. Sadiq Khan, the new mayor of London, during Pride, said that all European migrants are welcomed in this city. There is a lot of support for the Polish community, at least in the official channels. However, what is happening on the ground and in other places not as metropolitan and cosmopolitan as London, that could be a very different reality.
So that tension, Rok, how does that make you feel as a Pole living in the UK?
I think this is just starting to confirm some of my worst worries about what this vote may trigger in the future for the stability of this country and the European Union as a whole.
What do you do as a Pole, though, to counter that discrimination?
I think that community organizing should be happening in all different areas of this country where there's a huge concentration of Polish migrants. So it's up to the authorities, up to the community organizers, leaders from different backgrounds, not just Polish backgrounds, to stop this from escalating. You know, people from other minorities in this country should also come out in support of Central Eastern European migrants.
I mean, the fact that the new mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, represents this welcoming face of the UK really suggests the divisions of this vote. Where do you see these divisions headed?
Well, that remains to be seen. I think right now, both the Leavers and the Remainers are really set on diffusing these tensions. However, because of this uncertainty, both the political and the economic one, it's pretty difficult to do this just now. It's a bit gut-wrenching right now. I mean, I don't want to be exaggerating in terms of these attacks. I think these are negligible so far, but things are getting out of hand politically in the general, you know, scope of things. So no one knows where we're heading.
Roger. Yeah.
There's no government and there's no opposition.
Yeah.
So.
Rok Dunin-Wasowicz with the London School of Economics. Thanks for your time. Good to speak with you again.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Campaigners for the UK to leave the European Union sold the vote on a combination of myth, fear, and nostalgia. They wanted to take Britain back to a world that may never have even existed. You know, tea cozies and corgis, the kind of place evoked by A.A. Milne in Winnie the Pooh. So it intrigued me to read a column in the New Statesman with the headline, "I Want My Country Back." Lori Penny wrote that she wanted a Britain that's tolerant and respects its neighbors. She admits that's also a myth. So I wanted to know if both visions of a perfect Britain are false, what model should the UK follow?
If there was an easy model, I think we'd all be a bit calmer in this country right now. There is no real map for how to manage a country fracturing under the ravages of modern neoliberalism. And I don't think nationalism and, you know, parochialism is an adequate response or any kind of response to austerity and to hardship and to the real suffering that is a result of globalization.
Laurie used the G word there, globalization. I mean, the people who really felt in their bones that they needed to vote to get out of the European Union. We heard some of their concern was about immigration, but that a lot of anger was also inward looking and a sense among people they had not gotten their slice of the pie. What do you think about that? Because that sounds very familiar.
The latter is absolutely correct. Unfortunately, this wasn't a vote about that. The EU vote was rephrased as, leaving the EU will solve all of our problems. It was never really explained how this was meant to happen, something to do with immigration, presumably. But now it turns out that actually we may not even be able to close down the borders as people at the head of the Leave campaign were promising. So people who voted Leave have been sold an absolute fiction to service the political careers of a few wealthy men at the top of the pile. But yes, there are some real legitimate concerns out there, not necessarily about immigration, but it is true that in Britain, particularly over the last 6 years since David Cameron came to power, that, yeah, ordinary people, it's not just that they haven't had their slice of the pie, the wealth gap has been growing hugely in Britain. There's been a vast gulf of inequality has opened up. Unemployment is part of the issue, but there's also underemployment. People are being paid poverty wages across the country, particularly in deprived areas in the north, in former industrial areas, in inner city areas. There is a huge social divide in Britain, and that was the case before the referendum. Unfortunately, it's only now that people seem to be paying attention to it when it's actually, you know, impacted on their chance of getting re-elected or hanging on to their positions.
Well, people in the United States are paying attention to the UK because what you're talking about is a trope here in the U.S. as well. I mean, this feeling that globalization happened and it was a party that a lot of people didn't get invites to. It's a trope Donald Trump is talking about and getting traction with. And you even point out that Trump and Marine Le Pen in France congratulated the U.K. on its leave vote. Is the U.K. taking cues from the U.S. or is the U.S. taking cues from the U.K.?
Well, it sounds like people are reading off the same terrible playbook in both Britain and America, which is a few wealthy demagogues with no eye on anything apart from their own future and their own power are exploiting a really terrible situation with no concern for what it's going to do to the social fabric of their country. A lot of people, even people who voted for Leave, are saying, oh, we didn't think it could really happen. We didn't think it could happen here. It was just a protest vote because we hate the political class. Well, they're right to hate the political class. The political class have not done them any favours in the past 10 years at least, if ever. But the lessons to be drawn is that, yes, it really can happen. It really has happened in the UK, and we're all nervously wondering what the fallout's going to be.
You call the politician demagogues like David Cameron and Boris Johnson, or did they just not think this through?
When I use the phrase demagogue, I'm talking about a particular kind of personality. I'm talking about Trump, but I'm also talking about Nigel Farage and Boris Johnson, who are charismatic leaders who are prepared to exploit any situation of public outrage to their own advantage.
Regardless of what the Brexit vote was, wasn't the UK eventually going to have to come to terms with what a united Kingdom ought to be? I mean, you've got 48% who see it open, 52% who see it with a kind of velvet rope in front of it. What will this new country look like?
Well, hopefully it won't be a smoking wasteland by the time we get to the end of this situation.
You honestly concerned about that?
Oh, well, I mean, that's a figure of speech.
Sure.
But we have no idea what's going to happen just in the next week. The shadow cabinet, which is the opposition, are imploding just today. We have no idea who's going to be leader of the main two political parties in 2 or 3 days. We have no idea what's going to happen to the pound. Nobody really knows. It turns out that nobody had a plan, you see. All of these former Etonian politicians, you know, Boris Johnson and David Cameron, friends at school, friends at Oxford, have been political rivals for a very, very long time, vying for the leadership of the country. It turns out that neither of them had a plan with what to do in the case of a Brexit. The only leader who seems to have any clue what's going on is Nicola Sturgeon, who is the head of the Scottish National Party. And You know, personally, I woke up this morning thinking, you know, wouldn't it be a good thing if Scotland invaded us? You know, what would, you know, they used to do that all the time. Maybe they could start again. Do they still have any dudes who can do that? Yeah. It's like she seems like the only, but she's the, maybe she's the Khaleesi we need.
Yeah, get the blue war paint ready.
Yes, absolutely. Please.
Laurie Penny, great to speak with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to The World.